the scripture in Revelation 19, from verse 11 to verse 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just the piece that struck me was his eyes were like a flame of fire. Jesus is incredible. Just such an amazing God. Such an awesome God who's able to be so fierce and so, you know, just destroying sin in our lives, but also so gentle and so loving. Just with the warmness, the warmth of that fire in his eyes. And I just sense he's here this morning to just come and look at us in our eyes and praise the Lord, it's not judgment day today. Praise the Lord, he's not come here to judge us and to condemn us, but he's come here to actually condemn sin and to judge sin and to judge all ungodliness in our lives. But he's here to love us and he's here to just go and say that he really wants relationship. He wants you to look into his eyes. The one with the fire in his eyes. One day we're going to be standing behind him as his army, clothed in white linen, perfect, spotless, and we're going to know that we're on his side. So many out there will be unsure, are they going to be judged, are they going to be sent to hell, or are they going to be the saints clothed with white, pure clothes. It's so exciting to know that when we know Jesus, we can be assured of our salvation. We can be assured that we're not going to be the ones judged and condemned to eternal banishment from the presence of God. We're going to be the ones to know him eternally. This morning he just wants to come and just commune with us and fellowship with us. So I just want you to close your eyes and to just ask him to show you just how great he is. As Tietz just said, you know, he's just such an amazing father. He's just such a mystery. He's such a... He's got this side of him that's so fearful, but there's the side of him that's so loving. And he is a holy God. And he's a perfect God. And almost just cannot be comprehended, but he sent his son to identify with us. And the gospel is just for me, again, just becoming so amazing and so real that God would just come to identify with us as people. So just allow him to come and show you this morning who he is, the one with the fire in his eyes, the flame that's burning for you, whose heart's beating for you, his compassion is so much for you this morning. His grace is never ending. Part of our worship of him this morning is not just to sing songs, to have a nice experience, because that is also part of it. I think he really wants our hearts to burn for him, even emotionally, that we can get so excited and so full of joy. But I think part of our worship also this morning is just to give to him. So the ushers are just going to pass around the offering bag. There's an opportunity just to give to the Lord this morning, just to give to the good Father this morning that loves you so much. So if you have something to give this morning, just give freedom, just because he's so good. thank Him for our lives this morning. As we give, let's just thank Him for every blessing in our lives. Thank Him for the fact that we aren't struggling to eat, wondering where our next meal will come from, wondering if we're going to sleep out in the cold. Just thank Him for the basics in our lives. Thank Him for a warm bed that you have. Thank Him that you can study, that you can have a job. Thank you for your family, for your kids, for your spouse. Lord, we just say more of you this morning, God. You're the provider, God. Father, thank you that we can give this morning into our house so freely, God. We're under no obligation to give, Lord, because there's nothing we can actually give to you, Lord. We can never pay it back, Lord. We can never try to earn anything, Lord. But just because of your goodness this morning, we just come to give our lives to you. We come to give everything to you, Lord. We just consecrate our finances to you, Lord. We consecrate our income to you. Consecrate our jobs and our studies to you, Father. We say, Lord, we're really doing it for your glory. We're not doing it, Lord, for ourselves, Lord. We want to live for your glory, God. But Lord, we also realize this morning that so many times life is all about us. This morning, we want to look away from ourselves, Lord. We want to look into the one who's got fire in his eyes, the one who's He's got a sharp sword in his hand, Lord. He's coming to you. And he has come to deliver this world. To set this world free. Tonight we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your appointment with each one. Thank you that you have an appointment with us this morning. Now we just praise you that you're here, Lord. That you hear every Sunday, God. You're there when we wake up every morning, God. Thank you this morning that you're here, Lord, just to remind us again of how great you are, how amazing you are. Someone that you can chat to this morning quickly. So I want you to discuss in groups of two or three if you have to, just groups of two. What is freedom? What is freedom for you? discuss it for 2 minutes just with someone. What is freedom for you? Is that freedom? Just saying something great? In Luke 4, chapter 18, and I'm busy here with the last one of my series on the greatest man that's ever lived. But the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus to save the world, to heal the world, and then the last one, to preach deliverance to the captives and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. To preach deliverance to the captives and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. It talks about Jesus as the deliverer. So a couple of weeks ago we talked about Jesus as the Savior, and 2 weeks ago Jesus as the healer, and today we're going to talk about Jesus as the one who's come to bring freedom. Because I'm just so excited to get to know Jesus in different ways, aren't you? Not only as our Savior, but as our healer, and as our deliverer, and so much more, but I'm just so excited for us as a church to just get to know who Jesus really is. I really believe that's what He wants us to know Him, to know Him, to know Him. So amazing, and we've experienced it a bit this morning in worship, but you know, it's not good enough, I believe, just to experience Him in church, and when we sing songs, and when we come together, but to experience Him every single day as the one who just wants to have a relationship with us. I was running the other day there in Happy Valley, just above the office there where West Deep. Such a great place to just get out into the trails there. It was one afternoon, and the Lord just said to me, "I'm proud of you. My son, I'm proud of you." And I was like, the usual Alistair answer, you know, "Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord." You know, it's like the yes and no, so three steps full. So what's next? What's the next command? I'm here for you, Lord. And then I just experienced saying something that I've never said to him before. I said, "Thank you, Dad." And as I said that, tears just came into my eyes, and I'm running there near Urania's hockey field, and there's a lot of girls playing sport there. But I mean, I'm on my own, and I'm thinking, like, these people, they see me now, and it's like, looks weird, this runner is not crying. Is he sweating? Is he crying? What, you know, must look weird. So I was hoping no one would see me, but like, I'm like almost shaking, like, just with the presence of God. Because I just experienced, like, just a little bit of deliverance right there, a bit of freedom. That my dad is proud of me. My heavenly Father is proud of me. Because you know, I've never heard, my dad's a great guy. My earthly dad's a great guy. He loves me, but he's never said to me those words. I'm proud of him. And so when I heard God saying that to me, it was like, "Yes, Dad. Thank you, Dad." That's all he wanted from me. You know, when we say, "Okay, Lord, great. What's the next mission? What's the next thing I must do for you?" It's amazing, amazing experience. I experienced the same Jesus coming to set me free from a bondage to slavery, slave mentality. So, I'm getting to know Jesus more and more as my deliverer. One who's come to set me free from oppression. Preach deliverance to me, to set at liberty my life. And he wants to do the same with you. Because you see, I believe if we don't know Jesus as our deliverer, then we're going to stay in bondage, isn't it, sir? We're going to stay captive. We're going to stay oppressed. We're going to know him in part. And I believe he wants us to get to know him in his fullness. And what's even worse is if we don't know Jesus as the deliverer, yes, is the whole world going to know? How's the world going to know that Jesus is the deliverer? How's the world going to know true freedom? The Bible says that the sons and daughters need to stand up. The world is waiting for the sons and daughters, the free sons and daughters of God, to stand up and talk about this amazing freedom that we found in Christ. So turn with me to Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 1. I'm going to read from my Bible. I haven't got all the verses up there. It's a bit of a long passage, but Mark chapter 5. It's good to bring your Bibles to church. Amen. Otherwise, if you haven't got a Bible, just sit next to a believer in church. Just ask if you need a Bible, we can organize one for you. You're welcome to take out your phones these days. Bibles are all over social or other devices as well. It's fine. But there's nothing like the written word of God. Amen. Mark chapter 5. So I'm going to read this together. This is one of the amazing stories of this amazing Jesus that we serve and that we love. Then they came to the other side. This is where Jesus has taken his disciples through the massive storm in the boat, and they were being seriously shaken up and fearful and everything. And he just says, listen, yeah, I'm just trying to show you something of who I am. So let's get on with our mission now. So they went to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, my God, that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered in the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told him in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. And then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marvel. An amazing story. It's also found, by the way, in Luke chapter 8. Verse 26 to 39, I'll refer to a couple of places in Luke, which Luke records a few things differently to what Mark did. But it's a story that, and I've taken an extreme story this morning, because, and I don't want you to think of, oh, okay, this is not applicable to me, because I'm not like full of a legion of demons, you know. I don't mean this. This is not applicable to me. And I want you not to think like that. I want you to just open your heart to what Jesus wants to do in your life this morning, and just to look at the principles that I just want to highlight this morning when it comes to this amazing God, Jesus Christ, has come to set us free. So the first thing I want to look at when I get out of this story, the first principle that I get out of this story, and it's applicable to each one of us. Now I want to read it again. I read just the verse 2 to 5 with you, and I've put that up there. When he came out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. The first thing I want to say this morning is that all bondage has a supernatural source. It talks here about an unclean spirit, which simply means demon spirit, evil spirit, comes from the devil. It's, It's supernatural. In fact, Luke records in the story that he has been with these demons for a long time. And here it talks about tombs, it talks about dwelling among the tombs. Well, what does a tomb represent? If you have to say, think of the word tomb, well, what do you think of if you have to say it loudly? Death. Tomb represents death. So this man was hanging around with death. Sleeping in the tomb, sleeping with death all around him. Then it talks about chains and shackles. It talks about in the natural, this man could not be bound. No natural means could bind this man. No person could tame him. And he was like this animal crying out, howling, cutting himself with stones. In fact, Luke also records that he wore no clothes. It's a pity for the maniki. It's a madman. He's crazy. He's lost his mind. See, it's an extreme case, but if you look at this, the point this morning is that bondage in our lives all has a supernatural source, and it's not positive. It's not the positive supernatural. It's all born from the pit of hell designed to do one thing: steal, kill, and destroy. So guess what? If all bondage has a supernatural source, then our bondage that we are in also has a supernatural source somewhere along the line. I come from a family. My grandmother was a warrior. She's passed away. I'm a prayer warrior. A warrior. W-O-R-R. And my mother worries a lot as well. She could have been a warrior as well, like a prayer warrior or just a warrior. But she was a warrior. She worried a lot. And so my mother also worries a lot. And I'm so thankful for Jesus, because I also used to be someone that worries a lot, and that's caught up by fear and by worry and anxiety and all that stuff. And I'm just so thankful to Jesus, because it's not their fault. But I would have also been in that line of overcome by worry the whole time. If it wasn't for Jesus who banked us free. There's a lot of other things. But it's all born out of fear. And I think each one of us have got some kind of a bondage in our lives, some kind of an open door where the enemy has come in, and it's not our fault, it's not our parents' fault, it's just because that is just where we come from. And there's one plan for our lives designed to steal, kill, and destroy of our abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. So I don't know what I mean. We can name a few bondages. We can name that there's maybe fears. Fears of failure. You're driven by fear because you're so worried you're not going to make it. So you're driven by performance, like in my case, many times the same thing. You're driven by the fear of rejection. Are people going to reject you? You always want to be accepted. So you want to have people approving you the whole time and saying that you're so cool and you're okay. Maybe you've got a fear of rejection, and so it drives you. So you try to please people the whole time. But maybe you've got some kind of addiction that you're struggling with. I mean, if I just name some addictions, there's a lot of addictions in the world today. Alcohol, pornography, gambling, internet, and these days, this thing is an addiction. Phones and just the internet, Facebook, TV, sport, so many addictions. I was challenged watching the Lions yesterday. Ask your aunt, you watched with me. You know, when a rugby team that loses upsets you so much in a halfway through the game, I'm thinking, I'm going to die if these guys lose. You know, like, what am I saying? I didn't say die, I just said I'm going to cry. And I felt like I'm so nervous for these guys. I'm like, what am I living for? Thank you, Lord, that lost. I can be delivered. Sometimes a team losing is good that you just realize, what is it all about? Panic attacks, obsessive or negative thoughts, depression, poor relationships, bitterness, unforgiveness. I don't know, there's so many bondages in the world, and each one of us must have a look at where are we still bound? Where are we still driven by people and by our own bondage, our own weaknesses, our own fears. There's so many phobias out there, but if you just Look at all the phobias. There's a phobia for everything. Fear of the dark, fear of heights. People are even scared of frogs. Fear of animals and snakes and stuff like that. Why do we have to live with so much fear and so much worry and so much bondage? But it's all got a supernatural source, and the bad news this morning is that the natural cannot deliver us. Amen. That's why this guy was chained and he was shackled, and you know what? He just broke those shackles, because in the natural, nothing can hold him down, nothing can tame him. Because where the devil is, it's supernatural. And it's just to think of how I grew up, and I'm just thinking of, I'm a little bit afraid of heights as well. And I can remember at times when my mother used to freak out, and I think she also had a fear of heights, I guess. And so she said, don't go to the edge of the cliff, watch out, you're going to fall. You know, the things we say to our children, you're going to fall. You know, we speak death over them. Don't do these dangerous things, because you're going to fall. Because we had that told to us as well, you're going to crash, don't ride a motorbike, it's dangerous. I don't have a fear of riding motorbikes, I love bikes. You know, we can crash in a plane, we can crash in a car, some things are just more risky than others, but life is a risk. You could die every day, and if you live in fear, it's so terrible. If you live in bondage, it's so terrible, but it's all got a source from somewhere to just steal our lives. And the natural is not going to sort it out. Not going to get supernatural stuff, is not going to be sorted out by the natural. And we can do a lot of stuff, and we can try to do the right things, and try to follow rules, and try to tick the boxes, and I can tell you we will not get delivered. Because our bondage is supernatural. In fact, often when we get under the law, it just makes it even worse. Just perpetuates that bondage, trying to do the right stuff and talking from experience. So that's the first thing, is our bondage has a supernatural source of it. We need a supernatural deliverer to come. The second thing I get out of the story is that this guy ran and saw Jesus from afar. He ran and worshipped him. In verse 6 it says, and he cried out and said, "What am I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you, do not torment me." For he told the demon, "Come out." See, this is amazing. The unclean spirit recognized Jesus from way off. And you know what? He actually ran to worship him. Ran to worship him. Isn't that amazing? A demon running to worship Jesus. Calls him by his exact name, Son of the Most High God. So this is the good news this morning. Our bondage, and all bondage, subject to Jesus Christ. That is amazing, isn't it? But yes, our bondage has a supernatural source, but guess what? Every single bondage in this world, every single chain and yoke and thing that binds anyone, and any demon and any evil stuff is all subject to the Son of the Most High God. In fact, this guy had so many demons. And this is where Jesus started his pork ministry, or his pork factory, or his bacon. Renown was born back in those days, Anyone know Renown? Bacon stuff. So Jesus, these demons begged Jesus and said, "Jesus, please send us to those swine and those pigs." If I look at this, 2,000 pigs and each one received a demon. So this guy must have had quite a lot of demons. But you know what? I love this extreme story. It's sometimes scary. Imagine being there. That must have been pretty scary. It scared the whole community. But it's an extreme story, because if this extreme case, these masses of demons can be subject to Jesus Christ, how much more will our small bondages, and I'm talking small numbers, relative to this guy, I guess, sitting here, we cannot bound by legions of demons, but I think we have bondages in our lives, wouldn't you agree? So no one here that can say, I'm so free that I've been delivered completely. I think we all have little bondages, little stuff that we still hold on to. If the great legion of demons can be subjected to the authority of Jesus Christ, then how much more can our small issues also? That we often think we can handle ourselves, our own bondages that we're trying to figure out, trying to sort out, how much more will that not be then subject to the Son of the Most High God? Every yoke, every bondage, subject to Jesus Christ. Every fear, every struggle, every open door that needs to be closed or closed door that needs to be opened is subject to the power of Jesus Christ. So that's the second thing. Yeah. Look at what happens. So Jesus tells these demons to go into the pigs, and the pigs run, and that's the end of the demons. They've somewhat left the hold. They said, please leave us in this country because we can minister to a few more people if we have to leave this guy. Jesus said, no, you're going to just leave this whole place. And so there was a stir. All the people came, and it said that they came to Jesus. They were wondering, what is happening? And they saw this guy. They saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion of demons. They knew this guy was crazy because they needed to do something about it. And what was he doing? He was sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. There was a testimony right then that they knew this guy. They knew he was in bondage, and they knew that he was a crazy man. And here, three things. He is sitting. Luke actually adds that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, he was clothed, secondly, and he was in his right mind. What does it talk of? It talks about sitting with Jesus. In other words, there was a spiritual restoration. He was at peace. He was in right standing with Jesus. Jesus is his deliverer. Spiritually, he was in a better place. His spirit was made new. Secondly, he was clothed. In other words, physically, it just represents to me, physically, he was restored. And lastly, he was in his right mind. Spiritual, physical, and emotional freedom. Jesus Christ makes all things new. And Jesus wants to make us free. Jesus wants to give us a testimony like he did to this guy. He wants to make us free. And I think the most free place to be is to sit at the feet of Jesus. To be in our right minds. And I think the world out there is trying to get us to be crazy with stuff. And you know, I think if we don't know Jesus enough, I don't know about you, but I would lose my mind. I think so many people are losing their minds up there. I mean, it's, you know, if you live in the day and age that we're living in, there's just so much pressure. People are under so much pressure. And you don't know where to take, where to leave. What do I need to do? How do I survive life? Life gets so busy sometimes, we run around from one thing to the other. And I want to say this morning that it's not about being demon-possessed this morning. It's just about sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because that's what this mighty deliverer comes to do. All he wants to do, he doesn't care about whether you've got 2,000 demons or one, or half a one, or a quarter of a one, or one that just talks to you in a still small voice. Nothing shakes him because he wants you to be like this man. He wants you to sit at his feet. And he wants you to be clothed in your right mind. Physical, emotional, spiritual wholeness. He wants to set us free in every area. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the third thing is, Jesus wants to make us free. Our bondage is all from the supernatural, or there's a supernatural connection somewhere. Jesus has authority over everything supernatural, every demon, every bondage is subject to him. But he has a purpose. He wants us to be free. He wants to make us free. In John 8, Jesus says to the Jews, that there's Jews who started to believe in him, and he says to me, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then these guys answered him, and they said, we are Abraham's descendants, and we've never been in bondage to anyone. So how can you say, what is this freedom thing you're talking about? And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. These guys thought that they were free because they were Abraham's descendants. And Jesus said, listen here, you're actually a slave. And the worst, I think, is, especially if we think we're not sinners, if we think we're not free, if we think we are freedom, we're having freedom in ourselves and in our own stuff and in our own good works and everything, then we're actually even more deceived. Because Jesus said that everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. I think all of us have a measure where we're missing the mark many times. Jesus wants to just come and be our deliverer. Wants us to recognize that we need his freedom. It's the same with healing, as I spoke about last time. You know, if we don't recognize we need it, then Jesus can't heal us. We need to be like this guy who came to Jesus. Whether it's the demon or the person coming to Jesus, we need to come to Jesus, and then he can heal us. Then he can deliver us completely. And I think sometimes and I'm speaking to myself here, I think we get comfortable with who we are many times. We get comfortable with our sins. We get comfortable with just, you know, that's, I'm not talking about weaknesses, but I'm just talking about stuff that we do. You know, we've served Jesus for a long time, and then we have these habits that just keep going, and we just think that that's who we are. We become comfortable with actually sin in our lives. Disobedience in our minds. So I believe we need to realize Jesus wants to make us free. So I don't know what you're struggling with this morning. I don't know where you are, but I believe if you recognize that there is something in your life that you need deliverance of, you're going to be delivered. Jesus wants to set you free. Nothing is holding him back from setting you free. He's done everything. But you just need to recognize. You need to realize that when the sun sets you free, you can really be free. Then lastly, this man wanted to sit with Jesus. He just wanted to be with him. See, I think there comes a time when we do need to just sit with Jesus, and for each person it's different, I guess. Some people just need to sit. You know, we need to be with Jesus all the time. I'm not saying we must go away from Jesus, but what's amazing, and when I get out of the story, is Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him. So this guy just loved being with Jesus, and Jesus just said, for you, I want you to go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion upon you. So I believe for some of us, Jesus wants us to sit at his feet and to receive that sound mind again, to receive this clothing and the spiritual restoration of sitting at his feet. He wants us to receive that. But then he's telling us, you know what? When you've received my deliverance, you're going to tell people about it. Go to your family. Tell your family. Tell your friend what great things the Lord has done for you. I love this, and how he has had compassion upon you. And that's how Jesus delivers. Jesus delivers because of his incredible love for us. He doesn't want to sit with, he doesn't want you to sit with your bondage. He doesn't want you to sit with your frustrations and your struggles. He wants you to be free. But he wanted this man ultimately to be a witness for his glory. So many times are we willing to be made free? But are we going to just sit at Jesus' feet the whole time and just enjoy a relationship with him? Or are we going to be obedient to go and to witness? But Jesus tells us, tell the people about how great I am. challenged in my own life about this, because am I willing to tell people and to testify people to this real Jesus that's changed my life? I think it's easy to testify, you know, when we get saved, we testify quite easily because it's so real to us. But then we walk with the Lord for a while and then it just, we struggle to testify, we struggle to witness because maybe His deliverance is not so real. His deliverance happened many years ago and He wants to constantly just make us closer to Him, like He's doing recently with me. Just saying, no, I think you're a bit of a slave at times, so let me show you that you're a son. John, what an amazing experience. And I mean, I remember when I got to the Liberty Seminar, we have a Liberty Seminar that we do at the church, which is really amazing, because we focus on this stuff, and we just worship the Lord, and we give people an opportunity to really confess, and to repent, and to forgive, and to be free. It's amazing. I mean, I'll never forget, my wife's experience was a little bit more intense than mine. At this Liberty Seminar. She did it a bit after me, but I really got set free there when I was, you know, and I'm realizing a lot of the stuff that God started in my life, He's just reminding me of me, and okay, but remember I started something there, I just want to go back to that thing, because, you know, sometimes you go back to your old life again, sometimes you get all perfectionistic and performance driven again. I did set you free of that, I started, but let's talk about it again. But with Esther, it was amazing. I mean, she did this course, and she could literally experience what she had. We, at the time when we were married, we started running, and she was working quite hard, and she had this hectic, she struggled to breathe, and when work got a bit stressful, and her running as well and stuff, she couldn't breathe. There was this like heaviness over her chest, yeah, on her throat, like almost squeezing. And at times she really had to like just, and we had to pray like that. I said, you know what, I think let's trust God for liberty. Let's trust God for freedom in this area, because I don't think this is natural. So she did the course and fasted and prayed, and the facilitator was praying for us, and it was really a battle, because I could sense, you know, God wants to do something. And that Saturday morning, she literally felt that something came out of her arm, like a spirit left her arm. And it went, it left her body, came through her hand, and went out. The person commanded this thing to leave. She's never struggled with that thing again. She got totally delivered of that. She felt this thing was like squeezing her, and I identified it, and I commanded it to leave. In Jesus' name. She experienced real freedom, real deliverance. From wherever that thing came from, but you know what, it's supernatural. It couldn't have been done by, you know, just trying to work less, or stress less, or, and I'm doing all the right things in the natural, it won't work. But it's amazing, because when she had that experience, and I was like more excited about it, because we must tell people about this. Now, I guess it's difficult to tell your own family about this, because they're now feeling, oh, they're the cause of it, you know. So it's difficult to witness sometimes to religious people about these supernatural things. But I mean, you want to tell people that this is real, and we told friends about it. It's like amazing. This is like Jesus. Really sets us free. Not everyone of us will have literally a spirit leaving, or just, you know, having manifestations, because it's not about that, but there's a real experience of Jesus has set me free. Like this man had. And you know what? He didn't hesitate. He departed and he began to proclaim it. The 10 cities of that region. That's what Decapolis is, the region of 10 cities that all the Jesus had done for me. Imagine someone running through Bloemfontein, experiencing massive freedom, saying, this Jesus is really, it's real, sets free. And it says that the people marvel. I think it's time for people again to marvel at Jesus, isn't it, son? Just like this morning, when you worship, you know, but unfortunately, how many people experience this that we're experiencing this morning? Or put it this way, how many people don't experience? A good Father, you are. How amazing you are. What a mighty deliverer you are. What a healer. What a savior. What a great God. And when he sets us free, we realize that we are for a purpose. We're not just set free to have a comfortable life, because then you get back into bondage again, you know, because having a comfortable life is actually such a bondage when it comes to the kingdom. How about you? I want to change the world. I don't
believe Jesus has come to change the world. Jesus wants to use us.
My last scripture this morning, and having been set free from sin, Romans 6 verse 18 says, having been set free from sin, Paul says, you became slaves of righteousness. There is actually a bondage into which we must almost commit to, and that's to be a slave of righteousness. There's nothing like being bound to Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that he was a bond servant. You know what a bond servant is? It's someone that's been set free and decided to come back. He was a slave, and then he said, you know what, you've done your duty, so go. And then he says, no, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. And I put his ear to the door for 3 days, I think it is. And he becomes a servant, and he dies with that master. He serves that master. If that master dies, he dies. He becomes a bond servant. And this is what Paul is talking about. He said he has become a bond servant to Jesus Christ. He has become a slave of righteousness. He's become holy. He's become set apart. He's become a man of purpose, preaching and teaching, changing the world, planting churches. So having been set free from sin, you become the slave of righteousness. And I don't think there's anything better than becoming a slave to Christ. Amen. Because I think if we're not bond servants to Christ, we open ourselves up to be bond servant to something else. That just brings bondage from the supernatural, or the evil supernatural. But we need to become bound to the good supernatural, the Christ that's in us. He sets us free and then says, come, follow me. Follow me. Slaves of his glory, slaves of holiness. Slave is a kind of a bad word, I guess, but Paul uses it because it's like serious, you know. It's really a massive commitment. I just knew in my own life, if I look back, I realize just how God has saved me and he set me free of so many things. But the best thing the decision that I've made is to say, Jesus, I want to live for you. Don't want to always be comfortable. Just want to, life is good and life is, I love life. Life is comfortable many times. God doesn't want to make it uncomfortable for us. He just wants us to live for him. And I'm challenged. I'm asking myself, am I really living for his cause on this earth? My desire for each one of us is that we just live for his cause. Do what he's called us to do. So we need to be set free to do his will. So I want us to hand out communion this morning. The ushers are going to hand out the communion. So I want us to do business with Jesus again this morning and just ask him and say, Jesus, I realize there's some bondages in my life that has a supernatural source. It cannot be solved naturally. Maybe you're trying to set yourself free. Maybe you're trying to be free by just, you know, doing the right things, saying the right things, and, you know, being a good person. And I just realized as well, you know, one of the worst bondages we can be in is to be a people pleaser, to have to try. I think I read it on Facebook the other day, I'm not sure, but someone was just talking about this whole thing of that we haven't been called to please everyone, we haven't been called to be nice to every person, and because, you know, that's what Jesus would do, and that's so wrong. Because we can only have a relationship with so many people. We're not supposed to try to please everyone and trying to be so nice and trying to do the right thing. Whatever it is this morning, whatever bondage you might be, maybe there's fears this morning. Fears of your future, fear of death, and I'll never forget when Jesus set me free from the fear of death. It was soon after I started to walk with him in the Spirit, and really I was Spirit-filled, and I was so excited, I'll never forget, I was so excited about Jesus for the first time in my life. I got saved many years before, and I was excited about Jesus, but I think I was more excited about myself, but my ticket to heaven, because I knew Jesus got a ticket to heaven for me, so I was just excited that I'm going to heaven. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I got more excited about Jesus than about myself and my own salvation. Like Tian said, it's so spot on this morning.
But, you know, we need to get more excited about God and forget about ourselves and, you know, our salvation and our healing and our deliverance. We need to see who's the deliverer, who is the healer, who is the savior. And I got excited about Jesus, and you know, I just had this thing of like Paul had where he said, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain for me. I actually want to die. I want to be with Jesus, and God delivered me from the fear of death. Because, you know, at this entire stage, I wasn't married yet. I didn't have kids. I didn't have the great life that I've got now. I love my life. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love the ministry. I love church. I love you guys. I love Jesus. It's a great life. But at the time, Jesus said, are you prepared to not get married? Are you prepared to not finish your whatever you've been called to do? Are you prepared to die for me? Am I enough for you? In the moment, I got delivered from the fear of death. I really had this experience. It was at night. I was like, Lord, I want to be like Paul. I actually want to go to you now. I know I've got a purpose. I know you've called me. I know I can't die now. But you know what, Jesus? It's almost better if I have to die now. It's free. So maybe something will need to be set free of the fear of death today. The fear of failure, the fear of rejection, or worry, or anxiety, or stress, or... let's just live simple lives. Let's ask Jesus. Jesus, just clarify what I've been called for. Because, oh, I'm running around so much, or trying to do, you know, do this. It's making me like this madman. You need to know this morning that your bondage is subject to Jesus Christ. It's the great news for all of us. We can say amen to that. All of our sins and our struggles and our stuff is subject to the power and authority of the greatest man, Jesus Christ. You can identify with us. The Bible says he was tempted in every way. He saw the struggles of mankind. He walked through the religious leaders. He was persecuted. He was ridiculed. He understood the challenges that us as Christians would face throughout the ages. And he just walked in that authority. So recognize that you've got a supernatural bondage. It's not the natural, it's not your parents' fault, it's not your fault, it's no one's fault. It's just because this world is bound. But Jesus Christ has overcome that. Then the truth is that he wants to set you free. Because it's all very well knowing your bondage is subject to Jesus, but he wants to really make you free. He wants to separate you. I just see this picture of this guy with these demons. How he just focuses on separating this man from all these demons. Just says, demons, just move away, because I want to have this guy free. You leave now. All bondage, all slavery, get out the way. This is my son. Then your freedom has a purpose. Your life is for his glory. Your freedom is for his glory. The world is waiting, guys. The world is waiting for us to be set free by Jesus. And we can be a witness that is the only deliverer. So everyone's running to everywhere else for freedom. Today Jesus says to South Africa, says to Bloemfontein, says to this church, I'm your deliverer, I'm your freedom. No one else can bring you freedom like me. I think we sometimes look at people for our freedom. I'm convicted of myself, running to for people's approval and for all the nice words that we hear people say. Jesus just wants to say, I want you to be my son, my daughter. I want you to be free. So Lord, we thank you this morning that you hear. Lord, to just set us free, Jesus. The word says that he whom the Son sets free is free in me. Lord, I thank you that freedom also is not just a one-time thing, Lord, but you want to set us free constantly. Like many times there's an event that starts our freedom, Lord, but then we just go back into so many times into the old ways again. Lord, I thank you this morning that you've got an appointment here. You want to set certain people free, very specific stuff. Thank you that we can take over your body and your blood this morning, Lord. We can sit at your feet this morning, God. Lord, we bring our bondage to you, Lord. Bring our brokenness to you. We bring our heaviness to you. We bring all the chains and all the shackles, God. We just come and we say, Jesus, you're the deliverer. That's why your body was broken. So I want you this morning to just, whatever bondage you find yourself in this morning, if there's bondage in your life this morning, if there's anything that Jesus is highlighting, just bring it to him this morning and just look at your bondage by taking this piece of bread and look at how it's imperfect, it's broken, it's got holes in it. And that is your life, the Lord says. There's holes in it, there's brokenness. You're not perfect and he doesn't want you to be perfect. He wants you to be like this piece of bread where he's holding you in his hand. Together, just know that you put yourself into Christ as you put this piece of bread in your mouth this morning and you make it one with your system. You know what Christ wants to make you one with him this morning? He's going to take your brokenness. He's going to take your bondage this morning, and I believe, I trust that he will set you free. So bring it to him. Be honest, whatever it is, even if it's a little fear that you think, sure, I'm trying to sort this out, but I just realize it has supernatural sources and it's only going to be a supernatural savior, deliverer that's going to do this. So let's eat together in freedom.
Is there an honest
sing this song with the band. Let's just sing that song again. It's the good Father. It's only the good Father that comes to firm us and just deliver us from these four wise beings.